6 weeks into the war in Ukraine, more than half the country's children have been pushed from their homes. It is one of the biggest and fastest disruptions of children's lives since World War II. Safety and food are their top priorities, but as NPR's Anya Kamenetz reports, a surprising number are also keeping up with school.
It's Tuesday morning, and Hanna Kudrinova's fifth grade English class is signing on to Google Meet.
Hello.
Hello.
Kudrinova starts, like a lot of teachers everywhere, with a check-in.
For the start, you can show me your mood. How are
she asks the students
today?
To show a thumbs up if they're happy, thumbs down if they're sad, and sideways if they're feeling so-so. Maxim Radzievsky says he's so-so because he's tired. He's in Munich, Germany, on an earlier time zone. Other students are yawning, too, because air raid sirens went off last night in the town near Odessa where they all used to live and study with Kudrinova in person. Now her students are scattered, some still at home, some elsewhere in Ukraine, some in Poland, Czech Republic, or as far as Canada. Ukraine's Ministry of Education says nearly 3 million children have resumed their studies, remotely or in person. It may seem surprising, but experts on disaster response say this is exactly what's needed. Yasmin Sharif is the director of Education Cannot Wait, a fund at the United Nations dedicated to supporting education in emergencies.
Often when you have a humanitarian crisis, you underprioritize education and focus on water and shelter, which is important. However, what we have seen from many countries of crisis is that they are protracted. They can last 10 years, 20 years, 30 years.
It's crucial, she says, for countries to have a future that they keep investing in children. But it's not easy teaching in the middle of a war.
Planning the lessons was really hard for me.
Kudrinova is 23 years old and a first-year teacher. She's a fellow with the Ukrainian chapter of Teach for All, a global network started by the founder of Teach for America.
I should keep in mind that some air raid sirens can come on at any time, and I need to stop the lesson.
Kudrinova says, and experts agree, that the routine of school and seeing their friends online is important for the kids' mental health. Otherwise, she says, they're stuck inside all day, on TikTok or playing Fortnite.
Even if I'm not teaching the full curriculum, it's good that they're talking to me, that they're talking to each other, that they're seeing that the life can remind us of something normal.
While some Ukrainian children are keeping up with their studies online, even on their parents' phones, others are enrolling in school in other countries. In Poland, which has received more than 1 million Ukrainian children, they're creating special classes for them with newly arrived Ukrainian teachers. And 2,000 miles from Odessa, in Dublin, Ireland, there are new Ukrainian students enrolling in the school where Phil McCarthy teaches. He has a background in teaching English as a second language, so he was called in the other day to help with a new arrival.
They didn't know really how to help the child, and the child was just sitting there lost.
He set up some translation software on an iPad. They started with the basics.
Just saying, hi, I don't speak any Ukrainian, but I think it's Privet.
4.5 million Ukrainian children are displaced right now. If necessary, teachers will continue remotely through the end of the school year. For the moment, the students in Hanna Kudrinova's class are trying to keep the war in the background, except every morning at 9 a.m., that's when they stop class for a minute of silence. The teacher puts on a YouTube video with the sound of church bells. Anya Kamenetz, NPR News.